This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Man, I'm just telling you, I'm so encouraged what God's doing in our lives, in this church, in the world that we live in is incredible. I'm just telling you, just incredible. And whether you're going, you're in a storm currently, or you've just gone through a storm, or maybe you see a storm brewing and heading your way, I'm just telling you, listen, God's faithful. He is. I was in the parking lot this morning. I drove around a little bit in my truck, and I got here early, and then I got out and walked around. I was just praying, and man, the Lord, there's a familiar verse that, man, we preach here a lot. I love this verse. It's Psalm 35, 27, and let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. You know, you get a diagnosis, let the Lord be magnified. Man, the market turns and you're, let the Lord be magnified. Man, your business looks like it's like, let the Lord be magnified. Your kids, you get a heaviness about your kid. Man, let the Lord be magnified. But you know what? You have to continually express it. It's got to be coming out of your mouth. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. See, the way this works, and what's amazing is in the world, if your name is on something, or your dad's name or your family name, it's favorable for you. And we call that nepotism. And let me just tell you, God's promises, it's all nepotism. We're his children now. You know, I was looking at Isaiah, and it's a familiar verse for at Christmas time in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And in those verses, Israel, it's a real dark time, and Israel was split. And it was a real dark time in Israel. And through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke and said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And upon the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his government and peace there'll be no end. It'll be limitless, and we have to look at this and understand that man, unto us, listen, a child is born, and I think most of the world recognizes that baby in a manger and in swaddling clothes, and we think about the baby Jesus, and but then a son is given, and let me tell you the game changer in regarding that son being given. In Matthew, the first chapter, and if I were a more confident public speaker, I'd probably start reading from the beginning, where it's all the lineage of Jesus between Abraham and Joseph. And some of those names are just ridiculous to pronounce, so just take my word for it. You go read it on your own, and you can see why I'm not game for that this morning. But in looking at it, listen, all the lineage, all the way up to Joseph, there was a common thread, even though some of them are pretty peculiar. There's a harlot that's in there, there's a thief, there's a king, but listen, it gets to Joseph, and then there's a deliberate pause. And I don't believe there's a period set there, but there's a pause. And listen, and I'll tell you why, because Matthew goes on, and he's very literal, and he's very black and white. And he goes and he talks. Matter of fact, let's read this. Let me look where we are here. Matthew, the first chapter in the 18th verse. And it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, okay? And look at somebody and wink, okay? There you go. Before they came together, did you look at somebody and wink? Okay. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated literally, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took to him his wife and didn't know her till she brought forth her firstborn son and he called his name Jesus. Let me tell you the interesting thing about this to me. In science, they found out that the blood or the bloodline it extends from the father to the children. Okay, and of course the mother births the child, but the blood, the male or the father is responsible for the blood. So now you think about this. You think about Mary, man, being with child, yet had never been with a man. And here she is being pregnant and God being the father. Now this son took on the blood of the father, the blood of Jesus. I believe the blood of Jesus is the most powerful agent that's ever hit the earth. When that blood was shed, the shedding of blood that happened in Calvary, that the sin of mankind, listen, it wasn't exposed, it wasn't just forgiven, it was like annulled. The Bible says it was remitted, that God remitted our sin like it never happened before. We think of Jesus being as a spotless lamb. Well, now, guess what? Because of the blood of Jesus, so are we. See, it's so amazing, the lineage of Jesus, that it gets all the way to Joseph, and then there's a direct pause, and we take on a whole new bloodline. See, I believe no matter what you're going through, you know, there may be a diagnosis that just came to you from a doctor or from a test you might have had. There might be some things in your children's lives. You know, and you look at this and you think, oh my gosh, how do I trust? Where do I put my trust? What do I have my faith in? And then you think about Joseph. And here's Joseph. Man, the Bible called him a just man. He was right with God. And he's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He didn't accuse Mary of anything. He didn't point his finger at her. He was just going to take her away so she didn't have to go through all the political things, all the social things, all the family things. No, you know what? He was going to take her away. And man, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, no. This isn't a mess that you're going to have to clean up. Here's the one thing you do. You call his name Jesus. And you know, it's interesting for the men in the room. You know, we just need some marching orders. Remember when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and he was on the ground and man, he looks up at the Lord. He just says, hey, just tell me what to do. Go. Remember Jesus said, why do you kick against the pricks? And Saul said, man, Jesus, you just tell me, give me some marching orders. Just tell me what to do. Well, that's what the angel of the Lord did with Joseph. He said, just call his name Jesus. She's going to have a son. Man, he had to think, oh my gosh, I don't know how to feel. Is it my kid? Is it, how would I raise him? And it comes by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It had never happened before. I mean, I remember when the new birth became real in my life. It's like it never happened to anybody else before. Honestly, I went up to people that knew the Lord. And it's like, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you make this more clear to me when I was living like a hellion? Why? Because, man, this has never happened. I would tell you that my conversion is the most dramatic conversion I've ever heard of. You know why? It's mine. But see, we look at our lives, and that's what Joseph went through. That's what the Christmas story is all about. No matter what your problem is, no matter what the dilemma is, no matter what the discomfort is, just call his name Jesus. Then, man, the angel of the Lord made it real simple for Joseph. Just call his name Jesus. Man, we'll make this really easy. Man, you need to get a diagnosis of the Lord, just call his name Jesus. Remember, let him shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, which is Jesus. And let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Oh, we're sorry you have cancer. Let the Lord be magnified. No, the market's turning and man, we're gonna have to cut down on some jobs. Oh, let the Lord be magnified. See, we look at our lives and no matter what happens, if we understand that we have a shield, and it's able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And his name is Jesus. See, we look at this and we think about putting on the whole armor of God. You know what we're putting on? We're putting on Jesus. Man, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins are girded with the gospel of peace. Man, our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Our loins are girded with the truth. We have the shield of faith. We get the sword of the Spirit. Let me just tell you, as he is on the earth, so are you. Just call his name Jesus. Man, it's real simple. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Just call his name Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through him. Just call his name Jesus. See, when that happens, guess what? Man, that veil between man and God, man, we slide through the God to get to God, to the God side of that veil. Just call his name Jesus. See, that's the key to every issue of your life. You got a storm approaching, just call his name, that name Jesus. Man, you're in a storm right now. Man, call, cry out to the name of Jesus. You've gone through a storm, thank God, just call on the name of Jesus. I'll just tell you this, the Bible promises no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will ever prosper, yet everything you put your hand to will. Just call his name Jesus. Man, you call his name Jesus, guess what happens? God takes pleasure in your prosperity. That prosperity just doesn't amount to cash. That prosperity puts you back in control. Do you know what that diagnosis from the doctor wants to do? It wants to take control. Cancer wants to take control. Diabetes wants to take control. Arthritis wants to take control. I'm just telling you, the flu wants to take control. See, what we've got to do is we've got to understand, and we've got to stand firm in the victory, in the freedom, and the victorious freedom wherewith Christ has set us free. Just call his name Jesus. You think about Joseph going, oh my gosh, I'm going to go hide her. No, you're not. You're not running. We don't run. We run to win. We don't run away. This has got to be real. You get to a place where it's awkward and it's uncomfortable. What are they going to think? What will people say? Just call his name Jesus. That's your only responsibility. Man, you call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible calls him our high tower that we run to and we're safe. He calls to him our ever-present help. You ready for this? Our ever-present help in time of need. Just call his name Jesus. Man, your kids are being kids. They're not finished being raised yet. Just call on the name of Jesus. Because it's a name above every name. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Just call his name Jesus. I love God so much. I'm so encouraged. The incredible work God's doing in their life. You know why? It's just real simple. Whoa. Don't, you don't need your own little strategy. You don't need an agenda here. Just call his name Jesus and you watch what happens. Then you look at the next 30 years of his life. I guarantee you, Joseph and Mary were scratching their head thinking, this boy is amazing. Who's that? Oh, his name is, listen, Jesus. He went and read from the scrolls. Wasn't any different reading than anybody else had ever done. The book of Isaiah. But you know what? He spoke with such an authority that even the Pharisees began to scratch their head and said, we've never heard someone speak. Man, you think about Jesus in that boat. They woke him up. We're going to die. We're going to perish. They called on Jesus. Jesus woke up. He said, what's up, man? I was sound asleep. And the wind started to agitate him a little bit. As he's talking to the disciples, he turned, he snapped his finger and said, I added that part. But he, and it works for me. Just do it once. And you grit your teeth and say, hey, give the wind the look. That's all he had to do. He snapped his finger, gave the wind the look. It's like, hey, peace, be still. It's like, and you know what? And here all his disciples are like, who is this guy? What manner of man, you ready? What manner of man is this that even the wind obeys him? Oh yeah, I remember. Just call his name Jesus. See, that's what happens to circumstances in our lives. Situations that you're going through, just call his name Jesus. You got a concern? How many guys have a concern that ranges above a 6, 7, or maybe an 8 on the scale of 1 to 10? Can I see your hands? Just call his name Jesus. Man, it's that simple. It's that simple. Man, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. Trust in me. God's faithful to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know what that power is? It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It just doesn't identify your sin, doesn't isolate your sin. It doesn't just forgive your sin. It remits your sin like it never happened before. Just call his name Jesus. Man, you think about the Christmas story. A child's born. Wow. A precious baby. No, it goes a step further. Unto us a son is given. And you know what? We're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. And the promise that God's given you, and here's a word of the Lord for you. This is why you can shout and be glad. This is why you could favor his righteous cause. This is why continually on your lips will be, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Because of this one simple promise that comes as a gift wrap at this time where we recognize the birth of Jesus. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you, even to the end of this age. You have a storm heading your way. You're in a storm. You're coming out of a storm. Peace. Be still. Man, his government, his peace. What he does in Isaiah 9:7 is he links his government and his peace. Just like this. His kingdom. Let me tell you what his kingdom is about. Man, if you're about the kingdom, God's way of doing things, all you're going to run into is peace. Man, I'll tell you, your tithe, your offerings, your service unto the Lord, man, your simple inviting people to God's house. Man, you know, I know that there's probably people that are thinking, why are you making such a big deal about God's house? It's just an old warehouse on the expressway in Tulsa. This is where lives are changed. This is God's house. Man, all I want to tell people leading up to Christmas Eve, because people are going to go to church on Christmas Eve. We've got little invitations. Just say, join us at our Christmas Eve service. Got your church, little map on it. Man, Kennedy and I went grocery shopping yesterday, which was a treat. I'm just telling you. There were 150 things on. Sandy said, yeah, I made up a list. I'm like, well, send it to me. Send me. What can it be? She's sending me to the grocery store. No. There's nothing funny about that list. So I decide I'm not. The parking lot was too full at the normal grocery. So I went around the corner over to the Reese's. We drove around. We made 8 or 10 laps around that parking lot just to find a. And I'm thinking, this is not good. I walked in, the lines are 20 deep at all the registers, and I'm thinking, I'm miserable from the time. We went to the produce department, and I'm not exaggerating, 7 times, because we went, we got the stuff, and we left and got other stuff. We had to go back and get more produce, and then I went up to the meat counter, and they said, what do you want? And I said, I need some lunch meat. She said, okay. You want roast beef? I said, yes. And she said, how much do you want? I said, a pound of roast beef. She said, okay. I said, is that enough? She said, I don't know, sir. She said, would you like some ham? And I said, yes. She said, what kind of ham? I said, I want some good ham. And then Kennedy said, we need some honeysuckle ham or something. And so she said, how much you want? I said, well, I need a pound. If a pound's enough, I need a pound. If not, I need 2 pounds. I need some lunch meat. So we went around, but we got, here's where the story fits, is we got to the line, okay? Which was like the Bataan Death March, because you're standing in line. It's like 20 people deep. And so, and of course, it was like $350 worth of groceries. It's like my grandparents got through the winter on that much money. And so we get there and we're in line, and we finally get up to the front. And we had a guy that was slow, that was bagging our groceries. When I say slow, but everybody was helping him and loving him, I was helping him, and man, just wanted to help. And the guy, he said, "Will that be all?" And I said, "Yes." So he said, "Swipe your card." So I swiped my card. He said, "Can you swipe it again?" So I swiped it again. He said, I'm like this. So he said, "Rub it on your pants." I rub it on my pants. Finally, it worked. And then it hit me. Kennedy said, "Dad, did you get any wrapping paper?" And I said, "No." But I remember the last thing Sandy said before I left the house is, "We need wrapping paper." There was a woman standing behind us that she said, "You need wrapping paper?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I'll go get it for you." She left and came back with these rolls of wrapping paper. I think we needed a roll. We got like 8 or 10 rolls. I said, "Yeah, just go ahead. We got boxes. We got wrapping paper. Anybody need some help, we can help you." And So it was like this community of people all helpful. It was like church should be. And so I get that, I finally swiped the card, and we're putting everything in, and people were just so helpful, and they're patting me on the back and saying, "Good job." And as I'm leaving, Kennedy said, "Dad, you should have invited them to the Christmas Eve service." And I'm telling you, for the last 24 hours, her voice, and I'm gonna go back and tell her, "Well, you were there with me there, you judgmental little Sandy." I mean, Holy Spirit kind of judge. But she said, "Dad, you should have invited him to Christmas Eve." And it hit me. I thought, I'm letting all of my duties and my responsibilities and my tasks get in the way of true purpose. And I just thought about this. I thought, you know, I'm gonna just between now and Wednesday, I'm gonna invite 100 people to church Christmas Eve. I'm just gonna invite everybody I can. And I think people will come because it's Christmas. And I think people want to go somewhere. But I also think what could happen here, I know that what happens in this room, this is the house of the Lord. You know why? People are saved, healed, and delivered here. Yeah, you know what? There's some people get sideways. There's some people that even suffer offense. Man, you're gonna run into offensive people because the diversity in this church is amazing to me. Young and old, rich and poor, every color imaginable. Man, a church where skin color doesn't really matter, where you work doesn't factor in, what your dilemma is or what your diagnosis is or what your trouble might be. Man, there's one answer. Let's just call his name Jesus. Let him shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified." Let him be bigger and louder and more clear. Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.